Matthew chapter 15 in verses 21 through 28. There's an incredible story that is told about a mother who had a need for her daughter. This mother boldly went to Jesus Christ on behalf of her child to receive from him what she needed. And because mothers are always in the mode of teaching, even when they don't realize it, we can always learn from mama. Amen. In fact, that's how babies learn most of the time. They've been hanging around mama. So when you see them showing up bad ones, look at mama. When you see them showing up good ones, look at mama. Hush, look at mama. Look at mama. I'm just saying that they are learning. And no, mama, I'm not putting off on you all that bad behavior that that baby got, because we know that we were all shaped and formed in iniquity. Amen. You don't have to teach them how to be bad, to be perfectly honest. You've got to train them how to live right. Amen. Amen. And so when I say look to mama, it's a reflection of what mama doing or ain't doing. Amen. Amen. And it's also a reflection of the rebellion that is born in all of us. Amen. Amen. When they knucklehead, you don't. Amen. Amen. Just keep working with them. Keep. She said. Don't give up. Just keep working with them. Amen. So in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, we get this account of this mother who is able to teach us some things about both prayer and walking in faith and being bold. Amen. In verse 21, it reads this way. I'm just going to read it for us. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter, is demon possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. And so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. And he answered. This is Jesus talking to the woman. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She said, yes, you're right, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Then look at what he says. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Amen. Wow. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So my closing thought for our word today is this. God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. When you read this text, what you see is a woman who is giving us a visible demonstration of what prayer looks like. You and I don't have the ability to walk and touch Jesus as he is walking up and down the street these days, because Jesus is no longer here. But he is yet alive. For when Jesus died, he was crucified. He was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And over a period of 40 days, he made appearances to his disciples to show them that he was alive. But he was not planning to stay here on this planet. And so Jesus, after he had spent time with his disciples, showing them that he was real, that he was alive, and that the resurrection took place, and they were thoroughly convinced, he ascended back into heaven where he is now, at the right hand of God, interceding and standing in the gap for those who trust in him. For those who would dare boldly approach the throne of grace and come in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus is interceding for you. For those who would bring their worries and their concerns, Jesus is interceding for you and for me. And although we can't do what the woman did, show up and go and make a physical appearance in front of Jesus, we got something better. All we got to do at any moment, at any time, is call on the name of Jesus. We got to go. Listen, you ain't got to come to church to call on Jesus. Amen. And if you believe that, we need to fix that right now. Don't be saving your prayers to Sunday. Hallelujah. No. Yeah, there's something unique that happens, but don't you be saving your prayers to Sunday, because you can talk to him at any moment, at any time, and in any place. All the time. What they say, the line is never busy. Never busy. The tower is never down. Amen. You can always get through. When you come boldly before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, I just want to tell you that God still answers prayers. So this woman, as she is demonstrating for us what it looks like to boldly approach the throne of grace and to make our requests known to God, you and I should learn from her today. Amen. This text, I love it because it is absolutely straightforward, which means that, Brother Charles, in the next 15 minutes that you gave me, I'll be able to walk through it all. Didn't you tell me to take my time? You didn't say that? Hallelujah. So Sister Sandra, Sister Scott stood up and said that there was this thing called submission and surrender that you and I have to do. And then she gave us a definition for submission, right? She said that submission was really acknowledging God's authority, submitting to who he is, acknowledging who he is, and then submitting to that who he is. Amen? We see this woman model this as she is coming to Jesus Christ. Listen to what she says. Lord. Oh, wait a minute. She called him Lord. Oh, she's acknowledging that he has that kind of power and authority that things must bow to. That's what Lord is. Lord says that you are the one that when you speak, whatever you speak to, got to obey. When you say jump, it's got to say how high. Amen. Amen. So she's saying, Lord. And then she asked to that, Son of David. And so now she's identifying who he is. Not only are you Lord, but you are Son of David. You're the one that was prophesied about. You're the one that the prophets kept talking about. There's going to be one who comes, a Son of David, who will sit on the throne of David, and he will establish a throne that will never end. You're the Son of David. You're the one that God said is going to come. You're the one that we've been waiting for. You're the one. She is coming and submitting to him. And brothers and sisters, when you and I go to God in prayer, we got to follow her model. You're right. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, where, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You come to God in prayer, acknowledging that he is the one who holds the oceans in his hand, that he is the one who has the earth and he has formed it and he holds it. And there is nobody, nobody, nobody like him. There is no power like him. There is no authority like him. Every other idol is just that. Every other god is just that. They are an idol. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They may have mouths, but they cannot speak unto you. But when you come to God, your Father who is in heaven, the one who sits high and who looks low, the one whose name is to be hallowed, he hears you and he answers prayer. And so you come and you submit to his authority. So she says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then she says, my daughter is demon possessed and suffering terribly. So first she's submitting to him by acknowledging who God is. And then here's the second thing she models for us. Bring your cares to the Lord. Amen. Bring your issues to the Lord, because he cares for you. And can I just tell you, there's no issue that's too small, and there is no issue that is too big for you to leave it. You bring it before him and lay it down before the Lord. I like what she models, because she is demonstrating for us some stick-to-itiveness. Because when she comes and acknowledges his sovereignty, when she comes and acknowledges who she is and she brings the issue before him, Jesus is silent. He does not acknowledge what's going on. And if we are to be real, haven't there been those times when you've been praying and waiting and it seems like God has been silent? Amen. That happens. You laying out your petition before God, and it seemed like God ain't listening, like he ain't there. In this case, the woman can see him. He's there. He's just not responding. In our case, because we pray to a God who cannot be seen, when we're not hearing or sensing anything, we be wondering, where you at, God? Right? Well, remember who this God is that we are talking about, because when he's silent, you don't have to worry about where he is. He's the sovereign God who's where? In heaven. But he is also an omnipresent God. Where can you go to hide from him? God is always right there with you, even though sometimes your ears might be too dull to hear him. The cloud of dust in your life may be blocking your view from him. You may not be able to sense his presence. Because you can't sense his presence does not mean that he is not there. Amen? His presence is not determined by what you are able to sense, see, and recognize. We're just talking in truth right now, right? Because some of us, we are driven by what we feel, right? Sometimes the Lord comes and he stands in the midst of you, and you've got those little hairs on the back of your neck that stand up, and you say, God is here. No, you just recognized that God is here. Amen. Amen. He is an ever-present God. He is an omnipresent God. He is the kind of God that wherever you go, there is nowhere that you can go to get away from him. Amen? It's just that sometimes we are so dull that we don't recognize that he's walking right with us. Sometimes it's so bad, we don't recognize that he is carrying us. Amen? We done made it through the journey, and we thinking we did it by ourselves. God, where was you? I had to do this all by myself. Cried out to you, and you didn't show up. You know, you're familiar with that poem, Footprints in the Sand. I love that because it illustrates what you and I sometimes going through. We're crying out to God. We don't sense his presence. We still going, praise God. You're still going, and you think that you're the one that's making the journey. And when you get through the storm, and he puts you down, and now you can feel your feet on solid ground, you turn around, and you look back over the path, and you like, see, he wasn't with me. Because you only see one set of footprints. And then God has to open up your eyes and say to you, yeah, the only reason you see one set of footprints is because you were so tired. You were so weak. You were so worn out that I had to pick you up and bear you in my own arms and carry you through the journey. That's why when we are weak, that's when we are strong. Because he picks us up. He carries us. I'm just wanting you to remember that just because you can't sense his presence does not mean that he is not there. And this woman models for us what we need to do. We need to press, persevere. Don't move. Stay right there with God. Because even though he was not responding, she was staying put. I came to get an answer from the Lord, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. This is how bad it was. She was crying out to God, to Jesus Christ, and the disciples said, will you please tell that woman to go back home? She don't have to go home, but leave us alone. Please, just tell her. Get away, mother. That's how bad it was. You ever nagged the Lord like that? Yeah. See, that's how it's got to be. If you're not sensing that he's responding, you got to keep nagging. Amen. Jesus told a parable to his disciples. He says, you ought to always pray and not faint. And he was using this woman as an illustration that she kept going to this judge saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And this judge, it says, who had no fear of God, nor did he fear people. He was like being worn out by this woman's nagging that he said, let me give her what she wants, lest she worry me to death. Jesus was saying, you've got to be persistent and keep pressing. But I want to let you know that God is not like that unjust judge. You ain't nagging God when you keep showing up. When you keep showing up, you are drawing near to him so that he can draw near to you. God doesn't consider it a nag just because you keep saying, God, please help me. He's like, it's good to see you again. You must be serious about this thing. You must be serious. When you're serious, you keep showing up. Amen? When you believe, you keep showing up. And that's kind of where she was. She was at that place of where Jesus wasn't answering. The disciples were like, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And so Jesus finally speaks. He says to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So the woman got a little bit closer. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm loving this, right? First of all, Jesus is ignoring her. And then when he makes the mistake, and it's not a mistake, of speaking to her, she said, oh, that's my invitation to come a little closer. She was at first yelling from a distance. But when he said, I've only come to the lost sheep of Israel, she came a little bit closer. And what she do? She knelt down. Wait a minute. First it was submission, and then it was what? Surrender. First she submitted, and then she surrendered. When it says that she knelt down, that was an example, that was an illustration, a model of what it means to cease striving. She's like, all right, I got all the attention that I need right now. Now, since you've turned your face toward me and you are talking to me, I'm not going to ask you what took you so long. Uh-oh. I've been here calling out your name. I thought you was compassionate. Okay. What she does is she kneels down and surrenders to his authority, again, to his lordship. And she says to him again, help me. He looked at her and he said, look, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I know you want my help, but remember, I came only for the lost sheep of Israel, and it ain't right for me to take what belongs to the lost sheep of Israel and give it to you. Oh, did I tell you guys at the beginning that this was like a Canaanite woman? She was a Greek woman. She wasn't actually an Israelite. She was not one of those who were a part of that particular line that Jesus said he came to save. He came to save the lost sheep of Israel. She was an outsider. Ooh. She didn't belong in their opinion. But in spite of that, she still was bold enough to come to the one who came to save us all and say to him, I need help. And so Jesus, when he starts talking about the lost sheep of Israel, he said, you don't have the right pedigree. You don't have the right nationality. You don't have the right religion for me to be able to help you. Now you got to remember, God is not only an all or omnipresent God, he is also an all-knowing God, an omniscient God. In fact, in our time on Wednesday night when we were doing our Bible study, working through Mark, we illustrated the fact that Jesus knows the thoughts of people even before they say anything. In fact, in the Gospels, you will see that happening over and over again. People are thinking a certain thing about Jesus in their hearts, and Jesus calls them out. He's like, oh, I know what you're thinking. I know your thoughts. Why? Because God is an all-knowing God. I'm saying all of that to say that Jesus is not talking to this woman because he doesn't know what's on this woman's heart, nor what's in her heart, nor what's on her mind. Jesus wants this to become a verbal demonstration to the rest of the folk that's standing around. He wants his disciples to recognize that he is a God who came to save all of mankind, not just for their people group. He said he's not just a God for black folk. Amen. He's not just a God for white folk. Amen. Amen. He says he has come to save all of mankind. And anyone who is willing to come before him and operate in faith, believing that he is who he said he is, can receive from him what he has to offer. So when he's dialoguing with this woman, it ain't because he don't know what's going on. He's allowing this mother to help us model for us what it looks like to come before the Lord in prayer. to humble ourselves before God, to submit to him and to surrender to him so that we can get from him exactly the very thing that we need. Amen. So she, in fact, Jesus calls her, in effect, a dog. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She says, well, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So now she's demonstrating to us that humility that was talked about. It is not a spirit of entitlement. It is a spirit of humility. It is not that you owe me this. It is a spirit of humility that says that I'm willing to go as low as I need to go before you to get from you what I need. She says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In fact, she's saying, you don't have to give me the whole piece of bread. That's really what she's saying. She said, I'm cool. If you want to keep the bread for the lost sheep of Israel, that's all right. Can you break me off a few crumbs and give me some of the crumbs? Because she understands that what's in the crumbs was also in the bread. And I ain't got to have the whole piece of bread to get the benefit in the nutrients. I ain't got to have it all. Just give me some crumbs. If I just get the crumbs, it's going to be enough to take care of my issue. And when she comes back with that kind of response, Jesus says to her, oh my goodness, you have some great faith. You have the kind of faith that will allow me to respond to your request. You know what faith is, right? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not yet seen. Faith is that thing that keeps you coming back because you say, God, I know that you are more than able to do what it is that I am asking you to do. Faith says, I don't have it yet. Yeah. You got it. Faith is that thing that says that I am fully persuaded that God has the power to do exactly what he said he would do. Faith says that, no, I'm going to stay right here trusting in you until you bring about my deliverance. He says to her, your request is granted. Her daughter was healed at that very moment. Brothers and sisters, this woman is reminding us today that God still answers prayers. He answers the prayers of those who are willing to bring their cares, their issues to him. He answers the prayers of those who are willing to acknowledge the real issue, to name it, for what it is. Remember, she didn't sugarcoat what was going on. She said that my daughter is demon possessed. She didn't dress it up. She named it for what it is, that my child is being tormented by a demon. She named it for what it was because she needed him to address the real issue. And you and I have to learn how to name that thing that is tormenting us and stop trying to be cute about it. You listen, God already know. He's just waiting on you to declare that you also know and that you need help because you can't do nothing about it. So you gotta open up your mouth, name it before the one who cares about you, the one who says that you can cast all of your cares before him because he can take care of your issue. And finally, you must demonstrate your faith with appropriate actions and with attitude. Remember, faith without works is dead. Don't talk about what you believe and then you have no action to follow it up. Oh, if this is what you believe, you need to act like that's what you believe. You believe that God is the only answer for your problem. Start acting like it. Stop abandoning the one who is able to deliver. I love that closing song that they sang. I think it was the closing song. I don't know. It was one of them that had these lyrics that said, God has never lost a battle. Remember that one? Christ, Redeemer, Overcomer, He has won the war. The reminder to you and me that there is no issue that besets you that your God cannot overcome. It is a reminder that no matter how long that thing has plagued you, God is still able to deliver. Why? Because all things must bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, God still answers prayer. And I want to encourage you to keep taking before the Lord every one of those issues that are best bothering you, every one of those things that's keeping you awake at night, that's trying to steal your peace, that's making you realize that God has more, but you can't get to it. Keep pressing, because if you keep pressing, God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. And all you got to do is keep submitting to his authority. Keep submitting to his lordship. Keep surrendering to him and saying, God, I trust you. I may not see what I want to see yet, but God, I trust you. I'm not going to spend time fussing and fighting with folk that can't do anything about my problem. God, I'm going to come to you because I know that you are the one who is able to move and deliver. I trust you. You will stay in that place. Demonstrate the kind of faith that this Canaanite woman demonstrated. That difficult situation that you bring before the Lord, he will show you that there is no mountain that he can't move. Hallelujah. Amen. He will show you that there is no sickness that he can't heal. Hallelujah. He will show you that there is no financial situation for which he does not have provision for. He will show you that there is no relationship that he can't restore. If you keep coming to him, trusting him, identifying him for who he is, God will show you that he is mighty and strong. King of glory that is able to deliver. And don't you quit, because God still answers prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Yes, he is. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for the example and illustration of this mother who loved her child enough to endure embarrassment, to press through harassment just to get to Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every mother who can identify with her because of some of the sufferings, Lord, that they have experienced. Because of poor decisions that their children have made, because of attacks against their children, sometimes because they have tried to do the right thing, tormented because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does not care who or what he attacks to stop your people from carrying out, Lord, your plan in their lives.
I thank you, Father, for those mothers who have endured some sleepless nights, but yet you strengthened them. I thank you, Lord, for those mothers who are yet waiting in response, Lord, to prayers that have been offered for the restoration, for the freedom of their children. Pray, Father, that you will strengthen them now, that they would not lose heart. That while they wait, that you will renew their strength. God, while they wait, God, that, Lord, they will be reminded that, God, time means little to you. That you are the redeemer of time. And Father, I pray that, God, you would give them the stamina to keep pressing, to keep holding on, and to keep, Lord, believing. Father, I pray, Lord, for your comfort upon, Lord, their grieving hearts today. Pray, Lord, for your presence, God, that you will be with them, reminding them, God, that, Lord, you are with them, and that, God, you will never leave them nor forsake them. Father, we praise you today, and we worship you. And we acknowledge that you are the God who is able to deliver. And therefore, we will continue to come before you, bringing, Lord, our every care, bringing, Lord, our every issue and concern, acknowledging that you are Lord, you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords, you, God, have the final say. So we will continue, Lord, to come boldly before your throne of grace and mercy, because we believe, we know that you still, God, answer prayer. We thank you in the matchless and majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.